General Kenobi. You are the bold one.
Hello there. Welcome to episode 2 of Hello There, a Star Wars podcast, your weekly show for all things Star Wars. My name is Anthony Palm. With me is my good friend Nate Hicks. We got a great show lined up for you today, including our favorite opening scenes from the Star Wars saga. We digest the cave scene from The Last Jedi, and we give our expectations for Solo, a Star Wars story.
Just a heads up real quick. Nate actually came across an article on TheVerge.com stating if you're looking to buy any of the newer Star Wars movies, so that would be Force Awakens, Last Jedi, Rogue One, and then I'm guessing Solo would also be part of this, as well as any of the more recent Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. Looks like these are going to be exclusive to Prime if you're looking to buy it from Amazon. So if you buy things from Best Buy or Target, no problem, they're still going to have it. But if you buy on Amazon, you will need Prime to buy them. No word on when this exclusivity will end, but just a heads up. So yeah, how's it going, Nate? What's going on? How's your week going?
It's going good. A lot of good Star Wars news coming out. Getting real hyped for Solo. Apart from that, you got Infinity War right around the corner, so that's something else to be excited about as well. Let's see.
Yeah, there's a huge salvo of, well, we have Infinity War and then Deadpool 2 and then Solo, all in about a 3 or 4 week span. So I think Infinity War got pushed up a week because it was that salvo of 3 in a row. So I think we have a break between Infinity War and Deadpool.
And I'm actually really excited about Solo, me personally in particular, just because I talked about last week how we met some friends, my wife and I met some friends, seeing The Force Awakens, and we've seen, you know, Rogue One and Last Jedi together as well, and we're actually moving around June, so this may be the last Star Wars movies that we get to see with those friends of ours, so it's going to be kind of a special moment, and I'm hoping... I've got some pretty good expectations for Solo. I don't have anything set too high, but I'm hoping it's just gonna be a really good, fun Star Wars movie.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at with Solo. I don't have any huge expectations. I mean, it is a Star Wars movie, so I'm expecting it to at least live up to the having Star Wars in the title. But that being said, I mean, there's a range of different levels of Star Wars movies that, you know, people have. We talked last week about people's opinions on the prequels and all that. So I just hope that this movie is entertaining. That's really all I'm hoping for at this point. Obviously, I want it to be the best Star Wars movie in the saga because Han Solo is one of my favorite characters in the saga. But all I can really hope for is just for it to be entertaining.
Even if it's not, if you just give me more movies in that timeline, in that time frame, like the original trilogy time, but with the newer... like technology, that look, like in Rogue One, and it looks like it in Solo as well. That aesthetic is my favorite.
Rogue One was so good. What I loved about Rogue One is how populated all the areas were that they went to.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what was that? I don't remember the name of the planet in the opening scene where Cassian kills the guy with the limp because he has to get away. And, you know,
I don't either. It looked like it was some sort of colony station.
It looked like similar to Coruscant, but I know it wasn't Coruscant.
Yeah.
But just like that scene, and when they're on Jedha, and it's just like it's so populated, and I love the way that they made that original trilogy era feel so alive, and I'm hoping that that Solo does a similar thing. We're assuming a lot of the movie's going to take place on Corellia, at least in the beginning of the movie, because that's where Han is from. We're assuming he's still from there, because, you know, Legends and all that. But so I'm just hoping that they make this movie feel really alive. Also, just a quick aside before we jump into segment one. In Did you play Journey, the PlayStation 3 game?
Admittedly, no. It's downloaded, but I haven't played it yet.
But you're aware of it, though. Like, you've at least seen, like footage
of it. I've seen what it looks like. I haven't seen... Surprisingly, I haven't had the twist of the game spoiled for me or anything like that, but I've seen the main, like, you walking through the desert look.
Like, you've seen the way the character looks in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because in Jedha City, there's these pilgrims that have these big red, like, square hoods. And I swear it looks like characters from the game Journey. And I wasn't sure, because I know David W. Collins worked at Sony. I don't know if he worked on Journey. I think he might have. So I didn't know if that was like an Easter egg that just no one ever picked up on. But I swear those pilgrims in Jedha City looked like the characters from the game Journey. So I didn't know if that was a cool little Easter egg or not. Someone, if anyone's listening, let me know what you think of that. I thought it was kind of neat. I actually want to run that by, I have another podcast, a PlayStation podcast. I want to ask one of the co-hosts on there, because he might know, he might be able to tell me if he thinks it looks similar enough, because I know Jeff is a big Journey fan, so the game, not the band, maybe the band too, but mostly the game.
So
let's jump into segment one. So last week we mentioned towards the end of the episode that we wanted to talk about our favorite openings to the Star Wars movies. So why don't you take it off? What opening is your favorite, or how would you rank them? Or let's give maybe your top few of them.
Well, I feel like this is kind of a cheap answer, but for one, I think one of my tops is definitely the original episode 4.
Yeah, I'm not with you.
Something about that, just it's that first time you're ever seeing something like that in that universe, and it makes it to where it's such a memorable moment. Like, you always remember that. Let's see. Top, if I had to give like a top three, it would have to be, in no particular order, we can do that a different time because I don't have the mental capacity to do that right now. Probably be episode 4, episode 8. I really liked episode 8's opening. And I want to go with you, and I want to say 3. Because I did really like 3. I didn't like how long the spaceship battle was, but the
opening
of it...
It was one very long scene. I love the opening of 3 because of the music, because of John Williams' music. The opening...
That's why I like it too.
If we're talking the opening theme music, 3 is by far my favorite. Like, 3 is like the one that I go to. Anytime that I think like the Star Wars intro... I go and I put on episode 3's, because I love the way that it, you know, it plays into the Force theme, and then it has this very like militaristic kind of tone like in the middle of it, and then it gets kind of like has a lot of highs and lows. I love the way that it was composed. But yeah, I think episode 4 has to be my favorite as well. I know it's not a very original answer, but it's just the fact that it's you see the blockade runner, the Tantive IV, and then you see the Star Destroyer over it, and it's just so much bigger, and they're models. You know what I mean? Like this is filmed in 1976, it was 76 or 75, and I don't know when they did the specific model capture, and it's just they're models, like they're like quote unquote toys. I know they're not toys, but people, you know, might refer to them that way. And it looks so real, and they're so huge, and like the scale of them sets the tone for the entire saga, really. And then you see like the Tantive IV is getting, you know, sucked aboard the Star Destroyer from the tractor beam, and you meet the two most iconic characters of the entire saga in C-3PO and R2, and I would say that they are maybe not more iconic than Luke Skywalker and Han Solo. That's a little much, but they're, you know, they're arguably two of the most important characters, because they're there for every single movie.
Yeah, and then I do want to give
the Darth Vader comes aboard, you're just like, oh, this dude means business. You know what I mean? And like when he chokes out, you know, Captain Antilles, and just the way he says. What was the line he said where he's like, when he says, "Take her away," like the way the delivery from James Earl Jones, like it's just so angry and awesome. I love that intro. But aside from episode 4, Episode 3 is great. It is very long. It's very exhausting, I think. Because by the time it's over and they crash land on Coruscant, you know, like, even they are, like even the characters look like they need to take a breath. And supposedly the original cut of that whole opening was, like, an hour and a half.
Jesus.
But
I would like to give an honorable mention to Jedi and Attack of the Clones, though. Because Jedi's intro, I really like, simply because it's a focus on the Empire. It's not a focus on the Rebellion. Like, you see the ships, you know, you have the Star Destroyer.
We get to see an Imperial shuttle, too. I love the design. I'm just going to be upfront. I love Star Wars, like, ship designs. Like, there's very few Star Wars ships I don't like. Like, I love the way the Imperial shuttles look. I don't know what it is about them. I love the way the wings fold up.
Yeah, I think that they took a lot of inspiration. I mean, obviously they did with the First Order, but I kind of feel that way about the First Order ships when you see them, because they're just so, like, menacing looking and just sharp. And it, when I saw, like, Kylo's shuttle first in The Force Awakens, I was like, damn, that looks cool.
Yeah, I love it. I just posted on Facebook yesterday. I think you saw it. So we're recording this on April 21st, the day after God of War came out for PS4. And I posted, God of War came out today, and this is what I'm excited about. And it was a $4 little mini Lego set of Kylo's shuttle.
Yeah, yes. I was telling my wife about that the other day, because I really love Legos. I've loved them as a kid. But now as an adult, I cannot bring myself to buy the really expensive Lego sets. Man, like, so I can't tell you how much it kills me that I want to buy the collector's edition Millennium Falcon, but I can't justify spending $800 on a Lego set.
It's just so expensive. It's so,
so
expensive.
I I'm fine. Like, for Easter, my mom had got me, like, this random basket, because she still likes to do that, and it had. I don't know her name, but from The Last Jedi, it was a woman pilot and an A-wing, I think it was. And
oh,
then
Tally?
It was, yeah. And then Kylo's ship.
The silencer? It was just TIE silencer?
Yeah, it was just a little minifig set.
The TIE and silencer, so, and Darth Maul's, what was this called? The Scimitar from episode one? Those two ships are so awesome.
But yeah, I'll just be fine with just those little ones, and I'll just put them around my desk or something like that. That'll scratch that itch. The other honorable mention I want to give to is Attack of the Clones. The Attack of the Clones opening, not only does it look really freaking cool, but it kind of sets this tone for the movie of, like, what is this mystery? Like, why is this happening? But mainly, aesthetically, it just looks really cool. You see the Padme's shuttle followed by the two Naboo starfighters following it to Coruscant, and, you know, it going onto this. I think the surface of Coruscant's really, really cool looking.
I love Coruscant, dude. I wish they would do. I was so upset when 1313 got canceled, because I was so excited to go under the hood of Coruscant.
Yeah, I like when they do that later on in the later seasons of Clone Wars, when they do
with
a
Ahsoka,
lot of episodes on
with Ahsoka. Yeah, that was awesome.
But those are mine. I would say that my top three would be 4, Last Jedi, and Revenge of the Sith, and then honorable mention to Return of the Jedi and Attack of the Clones.
See, the issue I have with Return of the Jedi, actually, I'll get to Jedi in a second, actually, because I do want to comment on Attack of the Clones. I love the opening to Attack of the Clones, specifically a little bit later in the opening. Like, I love the Zam Wessel chase. I don't know if it's... I thought it was Wessel, and then someone else said Wessel. I don't know. But Zam, the assassin. I love that chase. Like, I know it's so, like, over the top, like CGI, whatever, but I still love that chase. And, like, you just get to see Coruscant. You know, you get to see all these crazy neon lights and all these bars on the, not the surface, but, like, on one of the levels of Coruscant. And the speeder chase was cool. And I don't know. I love that.
I like the comedy of it too. Like, that just small comedic timing. Like, whenever he's like, Anakin's like, you know, I'm taking care of this myself, and he jumps out, and Obi-Wan's like, I hate it when he does that. And it just kind of sets this tone for like their kind of relationship. Like,
I just my favorite part about that opening is that Obi-Wan is telling Anakin, like, mind your feelings and like don't rush out to do things and you know, keep your focus and all that. And then Obi-Wan just jumps out the window and grabs the droid.
I mean, you can kind of see parallels now that I think about it with Anakin and Rey. When you go back compare the two. Like, especially in that scene, that deleted scene we talked about last week with her running to go save the caretakers. You know, he was like, you know, you don't act brash. Like, as a Jedi, you need to show reservation or whatever. And, you know, she goes and runs. And the same thing in that scene. He was like, you know, you need to reserve your feelings.
That's a good parallel that I never even noticed. That's
I just thought
point.
About it just now.
Yeah, no, that's a good parallel. It was a deleted scene. So I guess technically you would have to know that scene, and also you would personally have to consider that scene canon. But no, I like that comparison that Luke is like, hey, I mean, obviously different circumstances, but
right.
Luke is like, you know, a true Jedi wouldn't rush off, and Rey is like, nah, screw this, and she just takes off. I just love the way Luke's, I know we talked about this last week, but I love the way Luke is just like, you ran off so fast. Like, I just love the way he says that. It's so funny. So that's our favorite opening. So you settled on 4, 8, 3 or 4, 8, 6?
4, 8, 3. And then honorable mention to 2 and 6.
Okay. So I'll probably go with, I'll go with 4. I'll probably go 4, 3. I actually really liked the opening to Force Awakens. So I'll go 7. I really liked how it starts on Jakku. I love the way the shuttles look with like the stormtroopers on it and the lights all flickering.
Oh no! Okay, thank you.
The music when Kylo's shuttle lands, it's the da 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 da.
I've got to change it. I've got to change it. You're right. I have to swap. I don't want to do it, but I got to swap out 3 with the Force Awakens. No. I'm sorry. I have to swap out 8 with the Force Awakens. Because you're right. Just cinematically, like when it shows the scenes with the stormtroopers, like in the shuttle with the lights, like it's something that you haven't seen the way that you haven't seen that kind of shot before. So yeah, okay, thank you for saying that, because yeah,
it was so good. It was so cool, like just like that shot of like it was very Rogue One-esque almost, even though this came out before Rogue One, where it's like the lights are flickering and it's just the stormtroopers just standing there ready for war. And
that first interaction with Poe is just great, where he's like, so what are we doing? Are you supposed to talk first? Am I supposed to talk first?
It's hard to hear you with all the apparatus.
Yeah.
Just a quick aside again. Are we ever going to find out who Lor San Tekka was? We're just never going to find out. Like, he's just some guy. He was just a pilgrim.
Well, see, my hope is...
like, why did he know where maybe, Luke was?
maybe we'll find out something in Solo. Because there seems to be a connection between him and Kylo. So maybe it's somebody that Han knew.
I think that connection might be more so that there was a connection between Lor San Tekka and Luke. And Ben was just a student of Luke. I think that's more the connection there. That's my opinion. But I feel like JJ is going to want to answer a lot of questions from The Force Awakens and ignore a lot of stuff in The Last Jedi. And part of me hopes that he does go back to some things from Force Awakens, and part of me really hopes he doesn't just straight ignore stuff that happened in Last Jedi just for the sake of the fan backlash. But yeah, we'll see. So speaking of The Last Jedi, let's move on to segment 2. We're going to talk about the Jedi Cave. So not the Jedi Cave, it's just the cave on Octu Island.
The Mirror Cave.
The Mirror Cave. I thought this scene was very cool. It reminded me a lot of... almost like Inception, kind of like that kind of vibe. So pretty much, I mean, hopefully you've seen the movie if you're listening to this, because it's out on home video now, and we also spoiled it a lot last week. But in this scene, so Rey rushes down to this cave. She wants to know who her parents are, what her lineage is, and essentially she looks into... It looks like a big like crystal or like glass kind of wall, and in looking into it, she starts to see like almost reflections of herself, and it's just like almost like clones of herself. And I don't know if that was intentional or not by Rian Johnson, And then she, like, she sees reflections of herself all, you know, going down hundreds and hundreds of versions of herself, doing the exact same things. Like, she snaps her fingers, and then all of them snap her fingers. And then there's, like, it ends at another wall, and she looks into it, and you see two people walking up. And as the viewer, you're like, oh, we're finally going to see who her parents were. And then they combine into one, and then it's just a, you know, it's just Rey staring back at her, herself. What did you think of this? What meaning did you take from it? Do you think that this was satisfactory, considering our expectations? What do you think?
Well, from my first viewing, this goes back to what I was talking about last week with how the first viewing of The Last Jedi for me was just kind of average. I didn't really know what I saw just in the movie as a whole. I was like, okay, like that's not what I was expecting. And so when this scene happened, whenever I was originally watching, I didn't really understand it. Like, I understood her going into the cave, like her going into her temptation of, you know, her personal things that could lead her to the dark side. And you know, I thought the look of it was cool, but I just, and then when that scene happened, when you see it's just Rey and then it goes to the next scene, I was like, well, what was the point in that? And then I actually felt that same way watching it again on home video. And it wasn't until I went into the behind the scenes, and there's actually a lot of cool things to unpack from that scene. One of which is a technical thing. That whole shot of the doubling up is practical, in a sense. There's basically a row of cameras that are capturing her image from different directions. So they could just put those pieces together and it would all look alike. Like, it wasn't like a generated effect of her multiplying.
That's pretty cool. So it's almost like a forced perspective type thing?
Yeah. And it wasn't until in this featurette that Rian Johnson was actually talking about it where it clicked and it made sense. So in my notes, which I still have a lot of, it says, the behind the scenes for The Last Jedi, Rian Johnson gave more detail on the mirror cave scene, saying that the importance of that scene is equivalent to I am your father. It's saying, you want the answer to who your parents are? No, you got to stand on your own and figure it out yourself. So what he was going for when he created the scene, when he had this idea for the scene, was inspiration from Empire of, you know, Luke, I am your father, or no, I am your father. I don't want to continue on that, saying that that's the line. No, I am your father. So it's one of those that when in that moment when Vader says, I am your father, Luke has this realization of, no, this can't be true. Like, I thought I was just battling this Sith Lord. No, I'm actually having to battle my father. So now I have to change my approach. What am I going to do? And he wanted something of that significance to happen to Rey with this mirror scene of, you're not going to get the answer that easily. You have to figure it out if you want to know either where you came from or who you are. So,
see, I interpreted it as, initially at least, before Rian Johnson went on his quote-unquote apology tour, which I don't call it that, but there are people that call it his apology tour because he went on explaining most of the movie after it came out. But the way I interpreted it, and I'm hoping that this is still a possibility, because I feel like it is a possibility still, even despite Kylo's revelation of your parents were nobody. I interpreted it as,
which I think
she,
that's
was,
just a false statement.
I think he's correct, but I don't think that he's telling the full story. And let me explain. I think that Rey is the second coming of the Chosen One. I think that she's a virgin in the Force, the same way Anakin was. How Anakin didn't have a father, and how Rey may have quote unquote had a father, but her quote-unquote father never actually impregnated her mother, and her mother got pregnant by the Force, and they just assumed, oh, well, we're married, so clearly you got me pregnant. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So that's, I think that the parents mean nothing, and I think that she may be a virgin in the Force, and that's why when she goes to see her parents, it's just showing herself that she's a virgin in the Force. I would like to believe that. I'm hoping that JJ takes that angle. That way it's, Kylo wasn't lying, but he also wasn't really telling the truth either. And I think that would be a good way of kind of wrapping that up into episode 9 without retconning it, you know?
Uh-huh.
Because I feel like that way, Because I do want to believe Kylo was telling the truth, and I do get the sense he was being sincere in that statement when he's like, your parents were nobody. You're nobody. And, like, maybe Kylo doesn't know she was born of a virgin in the Force. Maybe he only knew that her parents were just, you know, drunks in the desert of Jakku. And so I think that would be a good revelation to Kylo in episode 9. And he's like, wait a minute, I thought I'm supposed to be the second coming of the Chosen One. I'm supposed to be the heir apparent to Darth Vader. And now Rey is really actually the second coming of the Chosen One. I think that would be a very cool twist. And I think that would be a good way of continuing, you know, if and I don't even want to think about this right now, but hypothetically, if Disney wanted to do an episode 10, 11, 12, and they couldn't keep on the Skywalker saga, but keep it in the saga as a whole, you could make Rey, like, basically the new Skywalker blood. Mm-hmm. Because there's no Skywalkers left aside from Ben Solo. We're assuming Ben Solo is going to die in episode 9. We don't know. I mean, that's all. That's just me really speculating. I'm assuming he's going to die.
Well, let me ask you something. So two things. This is going back to The Force Awakens. In terms of her, of who Rey is or her lineage, how do you unpack two scenes in particular from The Force Awakens? The first one being when she's in Maz Kanata's castle, and she finds the saber and she has the Force visions from the saber.
Oh yeah, Last Jedi conveniently forgot to address.
And then what would you take from Kylo's reaction to that First Order whenever he's on the ship and he's saying that they got away and a girl was with him, and his like angry reaction? Like, why would he react that way?
I think the Kylo reaction, I think he's just like, what are you talking about? I think he's just like, what do you mean there's some random girl? I think that's more what that reaction was for. I don't think Kylo was aware of Rey before Force Awakens. He might have been like, oh, they're brother and sister, and that's why he's like, wait a minute, what girl? Is it Rey? But I think after the way The Last Jedi shook out, I have a feeling he didn't know her before The Last Jedi.
What made sense to me was when I saw that scene, and then later on in the movie when you see that she does have Force powers, what made sense to me was maybe Rey, when she was young, was a student at Skywalker's temple when he was training new Jedi. And then due to whatever reason, she was abandoned on Jakku and she has no memory of that. But all that stuff is still locked down. And maybe Kylo would potentially remember a really strong Force, a really powerful Force user, a young girl. And so when he says that, and he has that reaction, maybe that's why. But, you know, they haven't said anything to that whatsoever. Go back and watch that scene, I don't really agree with that one about Kylo, because if you watch that scene, it looks very deliberate. Like, when he says girl, he goes, girl. And then, like, he uses the Force grip on him, and he's like, what are you talking about? Like, it looks like there's something there that's not
I took it as he's like, what do you mean a girl? I think he just was very caught off guard by the fact that there was just some new enemy or a new, like, opposing force. And he's just like, what do you mean a girl beat you? Like how Snoke throws it in Kylo's face of, like, you got beat by a girl that never used a lightsaber before. I took it more like that. I did like that theory pre-Last Jedi, where Rey was a student of Luke's and she was hidden there. I heard that there was a lot of cool theories about how Kylo was the one that hid her on Jakku. And he actually eliminated the Knights of Ren when they were trying to kill Rey, and then he hid her there. I don't buy that now that we're in a post-Last Jedi universe. But I did like that theory initially. I do think, as far as Rey goes, Luke clearly didn't know who she was. I don't think he was toying around with her. I think he clearly just didn't know who she was in Last Jedi. And I think that's really the evidence for me that she wasn't a student prior. Because Mark didn't play it like, I know who you are, but I'm pretending I don't know who you are. He played it as, I don't know who you are. Like, who are you, Rey? Who are you, Rey, from nowhere? You know, like, he's like, he really was curious, like, why did they send you? I don't think he would have did that whole why did they send you kind of thought process if he knew who she was. Where he's like, why are you here? Like, he was asking, like, why didn't they send Poe? Why didn't they send Leia? Why didn't they send Han? You know what I mean? Like, he's like, why are you here? And I think that is enough of a case for me personally to think Rey really is not related to the Skywalker kind of new Jedi Order and Ben Solo and all that.
I don't know if I want a love connection between Rey and Kylo, but I want a very serious, not intimate in like a not intimate in a relationship kind of way, an intimate scene or an intimate connection between the two of them, like because I like that. I haven't heard that theory, but I liked what you just said, that theory before The Last Jedi of maybe it was Kylo who deserted her on Jakku and, you know, trying to protect her from the Knights of Ren. But I mainly after the Force connection in The Last Jedi between the two of them, like, I like the I don't want to say the chemistry of them two, because it sounds like I want some sort of relationship out of them. I just want...
Well, the chemistry between the actors.
Yeah, I want something of significance to happen with those two characters together.
Oh, no, I'm fully with you on that. I definitely... I think that that Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver, I think they worked very well together in The Last Jedi as far as, like, the actors having chemistry with each other. I'm with you. I don't know if I want to ship, like, a Reylo. I hate that term, but that's what people are calling it. Like, I don't know if I want to ship, like, a Kylo and Rey relationship, because that'd be a little far-fetched considering all the evil things Kylo has done so far. Although Padme did want to forgive Anakin after slaughtering the whole Jedi youngling.
You're breaking my heart.
That's a story for another day. We'll talk all about the prequels one day. But yeah, I would like them to have more screen time together, at least towards the second half of episode 9. Maybe the first half, I do want to see her and Finn together still, because I feel like Finn got kind of the short end of the stick in Last Jedi. I feel like some of his better scenes got cut, and I feel like he kind of was just there in Last Jedi. So I'm hoping Finn does get some great scenes with Rey. But I do hope that the finale of episode 9... I keep thinking the last episode and then the Last Jedi, so that's why I keep getting the names mixed up.
Yeah.
Because this is the last of the three. But I do hope they get some good screen time together, because I do think Adam Driver and Daisy Ridley worked well together, especially in that scene on Ahch-To where they kind of reach out together, and, like, Rey is kind of... When Kylo is like, did he tell you what happened? And then Kylo explains it, and then Rey, like, reaches out to him, and then they touch, and then Luke walks in and reconnects with the Force, and by him reconnecting with the Force, it's just a giant, like, Force explosion and blows up the house, which that's a great scene as well.
Did we talk about last week that he supposedly, when he was going to go visit her in her hut, he was ready to connect back with the Force and ready to, like, actually train her or actually help her on her, like, he was going there to be like, all right, I'll help.
And yeah, so we happened. Didn't talk about that last week, but I do know that was in the novelization, correct?
I believe
it's in the novelization where Luke he's like dead set, he's like, I need to hurry back to Rey, I need to make sure she doesn't leave without me, I need to catch a ride on the Falcon. And then he sees Rey and Kylo and he reconnects with the Force, but it's out of anger, not out of, you know, hope and peace and, you know, all the Jedi ways of the Force. And that's why I love that scene where it's Luke freaks out and he's like, oh my god, what is happening? And he just, like, him reconnecting with the Force, because he'd been, the way I interpreted it is he'd been so dormant with the Force for so long that when he reconnected with the Force, it was just a giant, like, explosion. You know what I mean? I thought that was very cool. And then that whole sequence with Rey fighting Luke, and Luke uses the Force to grab the antenna, and he's, like, fighting her against her bow staff, and then Rey uses the Force to grab the lightsaber, and she's ready to swing at him, and then Luke falls back, but he uses the Force, so he's not actually touching the ground. That little subtle touch of Luke, he was using the Force again, and he didn't let himself fall. Like, I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, I kind of, because I just recently rewatched Spider-Man Homecoming a couple days ago, I see what you mean on that. I like the similarity, like in Homecoming, the little way he uses his webs. Like there's one scene where he's going back into his room and his door's open and he's on top of the ceiling and he just like, I don't want to say like spurts out, but like shoots out just a tiny web enough that he can hold on to it and connect it to the door and just slowly closes it. Like the subtle use of those powers or those techniques in you know, in movies and stuff like that is I find really cool. Like it's not like, oh, I'm this person, like in Luke's case, I'm not using the Force to, you know, blow this hut away. I'm using the Force so I don't fall on the ground.
Yeah, that's like, what I love. Just, like it shows Luke's mastery of the Force.
Yeah.
That he's so in control of the Force that he didn't even have to think about it. He had reconnected with the Force for the first time in who knows how long, and now all of a sudden he's using it like as if it was second nature, like riding a bicycle. So I do
Real
love
quick,
that.
I don't know if it's in the novelization, but what do you think happened to his lightsaber?
The green one?
Yeah. Do you think he just chunked it?
I think he probably just threw it into the ocean like he did with his X-Wing.
They had it on a poster.
He probably forsook it. What would be the? I don't know that word.
Yeah. Something I don't like know. That. How but to they
say
had
the
it
word
on
probably,
a poster.
Like, he had forsaken it. I guess would be the way to say that. I know grammar.
Yeah. I don't know if it was on an international, but they had it. Had him using his green lightsaber on a poster. It may have been like a Japanese one or an international, but I remember when I saw that, I was like, "Oh yeah, that's right. He does have that lightsaber." And then you see it when he's, you know, when he's training. The new generation of Jedi and the flashback scenes, but that's something that I thought about after watching it. I was like, I wonder where that's at.
Well, we didn't see it in the scene where he's kind of reminiscing over Han, and you see the compass from Battlefront 2, and I don't think we saw it in that scene. I'm going to just go ahead and assume that he had forsaken it. He threw it into the ocean. He said,
"Yeah,
you know, Force damn this," and threw it away, and he's like, I almost killed my nephew with this lightsaber and I caused him to become Kylo Ren with this lightsaber, and I'm assuming he did something like that. I would hope not, because I really like that green lightsaber. I love the way the hilt looks similar to Obi-Wan's lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that's where they got the influence for Obi-Wan's lightsaber in the prequels, is probably from Luke's in Return of the Jedi.
I'm assuming he doesn't have it anymore,
because why wouldn't he have just used that against Kylo? Yeah. Although I think there's speculation he used Anakin's saber in the final showdown with Kylo to show, hey, you know this lightsaber, to Kylo.
Yeah, that when I saw that confused me, because I was like, we literally just saw that get destroyed.
Yeah, I got really confused by that too.
Yeah, but to answer that question about Obi-Wan's in the prequels, I mean, you see Obi-Wan's lightsaber in A New Hope when he is on the Death Star.
Yep, that's a good point.
So, I mean, that's...
No, you're right.
Yeah. I always paid attention to that stuff whenever I was a kid.
I did know that. I brain farted. Stream consciousness, all that. So that's going to wrap up our Last Jedi cave theories. Do you have any last things to add? We're going to be talking about The Last Jedi for a while. It's just there's so much to digest from this movie still, because it's still so fresh. It still only came out 4.5 months ago. That's the crazy thing to me. So we still have a lot to talk about it. But that's going to wrap for this week. Any closing thoughts?
No. I feel like the continuing thing that's going to happen with The Last Jedi is we're just, as time goes on, we're going to keep unpacking it more and more. And like I said in the Mirror Cave discussion, that originally I didn't care for that scene at all. And it wasn't until I took a deep dive and watched the behind the scenes and read about it that I was like, oh, this has a lot of significance to it. So I feel like that's going to be the trend going forward with this movie, because like you said, there is a lot to unpack, and it's also a combination of it's the most recent one. It's also technically the most controversial, at least in our time, because it's the one that has the most questions attached to it. It's the one that's just like, wait, what is going on? Like there's so many like people scrambling with their theories from The Force Awakens, now trying to figure out what does that mean going forward.
Yeah, I'm excited to unpack it a lot more going forward. We still don't really know completely what happened with Sifo Dyas, so it's not about second movies asking more questions than it answers, but the middle movie. But yeah, so we'll talk more about Last Jedi next week. I don't know what specifically we'll talk about next week, but there will be a Last Jedi segment next week, so tune back in next week for more Last Jedi coverage, and so segment 3 we're going to finish off because it's coming up soon. And I'm sure we'll probably talk about this a little more as it gets closer. We're about four weeks away now from Solo, a Star Wars mm-hmm. story. So there's a bunch of stuff we want to unpack from what we've seen so far. So you have not seen the most recent trailer because you're trying to stay a little media blackout on it. You did see the trailer that was post Super Bowl. So you at least can speak to that. We're not going to get into, like, I don't want to do like a rewind theater type thing where we are looking at every single tiny little frame, because most of the time you don't really get the actual information from that anyways, because the people that cut these trailers, they know what they're doing, and they're not going to put anything, you know, if it is something significant like Kylo igniting his saber on Starkiller Base, it's out of context and we're not going to have a clue why it's there. So let's start with arguably the biggest topic so far of Solo, aside from Alden Ehrenreich himself playing Han, is the Falcon looks different.
Yeah, and it got a lot of people pissed. Like, when they had the initial promo images out, a lot of people were, like, starting to get just mad. And I knew, like, looking at it, I knew that it was like, oh, like, that's not a different Falcon. That just has freight in, you know, in the middle of it. The thing that got me the most, like, not confused, but was when they started showing after the trailer, they started showing images of the inside of it and just how clean and brand new it looks. And from my understanding, it's only supposed to be, I think it's like a 10-year, if that, gap between...
I think it's about 10, 11 years, yeah.
Between, like, before the...
A New Hope.
A New Hope. Yeah. Almost The Last Jedi. A New Hope.
Again, especially there's two Jedi movies now. It's like it used to be like A New Hope, Empire, Jedi. Now it's A New Hope, Empire, Jedi, Force Awakens, Last Jedi. It's like, like it's such a pain to say now.
The thing that confuses me the most as far as this Millennium Falcon is, so you're telling me in the span, and I know it just probably has to do with set and, you know, what they had, but from the span of 10 to 11 years, the inside of the Falcon on the latter end looks that just kind of beaten and rugged.
Han Solo is a slob. I guess that's what that means.
That is true, but I mean, it's...
It does look very, like...
clean.
It almost looks like Han Solo is just a really big smoker.
Yeah, because, you know, everything's like that off-white instead of the
like
clear
it
white.
Just looks like it's like smoke, like that yellow kind of like smoke stain, nicotine stain. So
maybe he's got like a death stick addiction.
Yeah, I wonder if there's going to be something that happens inside the Falcon that that causes it to get so dirty. Like there's like a dust bomb that goes off or something. I don't know.
Maybe it's Chewie just shedding. I mean, I don't know.
But it is interesting. Before I even thought about that, when I saw how clean the Falcon was, before I started processing, like, wait a minute, how did this get so dirty? I got emotional. I was like, oh my God, like, we know this ship so well and we're seeing it as a baby. Yeah. Like, it almost made me emotional. Like, the Falcon, basically, for all intents and purposes, is its own character in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, my God. Like, this is, like, the infant days of the Millennium Falcon. And it's clean. It's before Han Solo got... So do you think that Han Solo already owns it? Or do you think it's going to show him winning it from Lando in this movie?
I think, especially with some of the scenes that I've seen, it looks like there's several scenes in a bar or a like big event room kind of scenario that Lando's in. I feel like we're going to see him win it. I feel like that ship, I feel like the Falcon is not going to be Han Solo's until at some point in this movie he's going to use it and or win it from Lando. Like, I think we're going to see a lot of that conjecture that we've heard like from Empire between the two characters. I think that if they don't do that in the movie, that's going to be very interesting, because that's mostly on the foundation of both of those characters, is that, you know, they're both similar characters to each other, and, you know, they either one I don't want to say one swindles the other, but
well, they're both pirates,
yeah, so it's one of those that, oh, you know, let's just kind of, and then they had that friendship through that format. So if they don't show any of that, then I'll be really curious about where they're going with it, but I think it's almost guaranteed that we'll see
at least
interactions
be implied,
like,
if it's not direct, if it's not directly on screen, it has to at least be like Han walks into a bar, Lando is in bar, Han's like, I'm gonna go win us a ship, And then, like, cuts to the next scene of, like, just Han looking at the ship after he won it. You know what I mean? Like, it has to be, at least be something. That's, like, the bare minimum of what I would want. If they don't show him winning it at all, it's like, come on. Like, this has been a mystery of how Han won this from Lando since 1980. You know?
Yeah.
So, what I find interesting about the way the Falcon looks in this movie is clearly there is a like a bulk freight carrying attachment to the front of it. If you I sent you a picture of highlighting that area on the front. If you take that piece off, it looks like the Millennium Falcon that we know. What's interesting about it, I'm just looking at it now, is if you put your hand over the dish part of the Falcon and you just look at the front end with that attachment, it almost reminds, what does it remind you of? Almost reminds me of another ship.
If you take the dish off, you cover the dish.
Like put your hand over it so you're only seeing like the nose part of it.
Like a Star Destroyer.
Right? It kind of looks almost looks like a Star Destroyer. Now, Star Destroyer, see, okay, here we go. Here we go. This is live, you know, stream of consciousness. Corellia, from what I know of the galaxy map, isn't too far away from Kuat. And Kuat Drive Yards is where Star Destroyers are made. So maybe there is a correlation between a Star Destroyer and a Corellian freighter. Maybe. Probably not. Probably not. Definitely
so
not.
So one thing, I definitely see that. One thing I'm curious about is, like, if you're looking at the picture and you see the shadows, see, when you were like, you take off that middle piece and it's the Falcon, I'm like, yeah, but the nose is way too long. So where you see these shadows are, it makes me wonder if that almost arrow, if the freight that they're carrying is that kind of arrow shape, because right where the darkness and that shadows are, that looks like where the nose of the Falcon normally is.
Yeah,
like, it's not
exactly.
That
that's if you take that highlighted part off, that front like arrow looking part.
I got you.
That's an attachment that stores. We're assuming they're moving spice from Kessel, because that's Ron Howard showed us a picture of a container and said spicy, and it looks like it's in a mine, so we would assume the mines of Kessel, you know, throwback to the line from C-3PO in A New Hope. If you take that arrow-shaped piece off, that's the Falcon. And if you look at the Falcon without that on, there's like an opening on that inside piece where that, so the way this is highlighted, it shows it as going above it, but it looks like it inserts inside it. So yeah, I think that's definitely what it is. The radar dish does look different than what I feel like it looks different, because the radar dish and the original Falcon, it was up more and it kind of rotated, right? Whereas this one looks more flat.
Yeah, this one looks recessed, like on the surface of the Falcon, and then the one
almost
that
reminds me of
is
the way the dish on the Death Star looks. Not that I'm not saying it's similar to that, but it looks similar to that, like where it's very flat. And
the one we know is perched up on like a swivel.
Right,
is more
right,
the look
right.
of the one that we know.
So I'm curious to see if we're going to see that radar dish blown off, and the radar dish we know and love that also got blown off in the Death Star 2. If that actually wasn't the original radar dish, and that was like a Han Solo modification, so I'm curious to see if we see that as well. But yeah, overall, I don't see the outrage for the way the Falcon looks. It's clearly it's just an attachment on the front nose of the Falcon. Because at first I was very confused. I was like, why does the nose look so much longer? But then like I saw the like you know a bunch of pictures and even like old pictures from like the Legends universe. Saying, like, oh, there's so many different ways to modify these Corellian freighters. So that doesn't bother me so much.
So what about the how are you on the outrage of the actor playing Han Solo?
I need to give him a chance first. I cannot. I'm not one of those people that freaks out before seeing it. I need to see it. From what I've seen, I mean, that the trailer that you saw, I thought that the way he delivered the line at the end, where you know they're flying through kind of like it looks like a vortex. I don't know if they're in hyperspace or not, but it looks like they're in like a space vortex. They're trying to outrun a Star Destroyer. There's TIE fighters all chasing them, and the Falcon does this cool thing where as it's spinning, it hits a TIE fighter into an asteroid. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really cool. And Alden Ehrenreich delivers the line of, "Though we're in trouble for a minute, but it's fine. We're fine." And it's to me, it just sounded like something Han Solo would say.
Well, you know what's funny to me is I'm not outraged on the actor at all. Yeah, I can see the resemblance. I don't think, you know, obviously I don't think that he looks exactly like Harrison Ford. But in that first trailer when he's talking at the end, someone I was with was like, oh, he sounds just like Han. And I'm like, does he?
The voice but I think the delivery does. And I think that's the important part. At least from what I've heard so far. Obviously, we need to see the full movie.
Yeah. Honestly, the thing I am most excited about, and it's not just because I'm a big Donald Glover fan, but everything I've seen of him in this movie, I cannot wait to see. I just saw him again on Spider-Man, you know, playing as Miles Morales' uncle, and his just delivery and everything about his character, like, in that movie, I'm like, God, this is just entertaining. And I feel like he's going to do, and also because he's wanted to play Lando for years now. Like, he said, hey, let me play this character if you ever do a new version of it. And now that he's finally getting to, I really hope he shines in it.
And I think he looks exactly like how I would imagine a young Billy Dee would look, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm very excited for that. I am a little curious about that one line. I'm going to spoil one little tiny thing in the second trailer. Is he's like, you better buckle up, baby. And I was like, that felt more like Billy Dee than Lando to me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it felt very, like, real world. Like, okay, that's something Billy Dee would say, not something Lando would say. But I guess
I guess you could say
Lando is Billy Dee and Billy Dee is Lando, you know?
Yeah.
I guess in a way. So I want to see the actual delivery within the context of the scene, whereas, like, it's
something
just
I didn't
out in
know
the trailer.
In the... Yeah, yeah. Something I didn't know in the first trailer, and apparently I think it's in the second trailer. I didn't know that Paul Bettany was in this.
Yeah, so he had replaced... I believe it was Michael K. Williams, who is playing, what is his name?
Dryden Vos.
Dryden Vos. And originally the character was going to be a CGI character. He was going to be the main, or I don't know if he's the main villain, but antagonistic force in the movie. Originally he was going to be all CG, and he was going to be like a lion man. And now it's just Paul Bettany. Like, he looks like Paul Bettany, just with a bunch of scars all over his face. I think they recast him because... when they did the reshoots, they reshot all of Dryden Voss's scenes, and Michael K. Williams had a scheduling conflict. He couldn't come back. So I think that's why they replaced him with Paul Bettany. But yeah, so I haven't seen Paul Bettany in a lot of things. I've seen him in, you know, the Iron Man movies as Jarvis and then the Avengers movies as Vision. And wasn't he in Master and Commander with Russell Crowe?
I am looking it up right now.
But I haven't seen him in
A Beautiful Mind.
Terrible amount of movies, but what I've seen him in, I do like him. So I'm excited to see him in Solo.
He is also a Master and Commander, yes, to confirm that.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, no, I agreed. I'm also, because I love Woody Harrelson, I'm excited to see Woody Harrelson's character, too.
I know, I love Woody. Like, there's really not any Woody Harrelson movies I don't like him in. Especially, I'm not the biggest Hunger Games fan. I thought that the last two movies were kind of bad. But he is so good as Abernathy in those movies. What was his first name?
Did you...
I could see his face, I can see his hair and everything.
I can get a fact check on it. Hold on one second.
But I thought he was so good in those movies. And if he's basically just playing a character similar to
Haymitch.
That, but in Star Wars... Haymitch?
Haymitch, yeah.
Haymitch Abernathy, that's it, yep. So if he's playing similar to that in Solo, I am fine with it, because I thought he was awesome in the Hunger Games movies.
Did you happen to see The Edge of 17?
I have not, no.
That is a great movie all around, but he basically plays a teacher, but he's also like a mentor-type character. He's just a sarcastic... He's just kind of a sarcastic teacher, and it's one of those, if you ever had one of those in school, like, you can relate to that character. It's just, he's... Yeah, that kind of mentor character I see maybe in his character in Solo. So that would be, I don't have my expectations set really high for this movie because, you know, because I kind of went really high into The Last Jedi and my initial impressions were just kind of eh. So I'm just going in like, all right, this is a movie set in that time period that I love. This is going to be a fun heist-like movie. And that's what I'm going into, you know. If it's
ends up being
a fantastic Star Wars movie, then I'll be good.
Yeah, that's my mentality going into this. Is I just want this to just be a fun movie in a universe that I love. I don't necessarily know if I need this movie to have any huge revelations. Like, oh my God, Han Solo was actually Rey's uncle. You know, like, I don't need anything like that. It doesn't need to have any crazy revelations. I just want it to be a fun movie starring a character that I love. Multiple characters that I love, because, you know, Lando as well. So, yeah, we're going to close off the episode with the weekly holocron. And this week's weekly holocron is himself, Lando Calrissian. So Lando Calrissian, he was born on the planet Socorro approximately 30 years before the Battle of Yavin. He was a smuggler, a gambler, and he was known for playing the card game Sabacc? I don't know how to say it. So we know him as the guy. He was the administrator of the Cloud City facility, which was Tabana Gas was what they...
mine.
They harvested and sold. So we don't really know anything about his younger self. I mean, we know he lost the Falcon to Han. Looks like when he was 26, he met a criminal known as Morrigan, who introduced him to Cicatro Visago. Yeah, I know Visago from Rebels. You got to watch Rebels, dude. It's so good. So it looks like this is that's a post losing the Falcon universe. So it looks like by the time he's 26, he's already lost the Falcon. So what do you love about Lando? What do you love about Billy Dee? Billy Dee, like I said before, Billy Dee and Lando kind of almost are like one and the same at this point in our universe.
When you meet him in Empire, he's just this suave, like, excuse me, he's just a suave character that you're like, oh, you know, this guy's really interesting. Like, in, you know, he kind of has that, he just has that charm the moment he hits the screen.
When he says the, what have we here? Like that, yeah. That line alone explains everything this character is about. He's a swindler. He's a smooth talker. He knows exactly what he's doing before he says it, you know?
So I'm going to take a little segue real quick, because you said Sabacc when we were going over his little biography there. A little segue. I'm a little jealous now of kids nowadays when it comes to the toys and the merchandising of these new movies, because I don't know if you saw, but I don't know if it's Sabacc specifically, but with Han, with the Solo movie coming out, they have a licensed Han Solo card game that they're selling.
Oh, come on.
And it looks kind of similar to that, so I don't know if that's it. But I just had seen that earlier today, and I was like, man, it's like, dude, these kids nowadays have the good stuff. Like, they have that actual land speeder kind of thing. Anyway. But, Lando, Billy Dee Williams' performance, I loved. I'm super excited to see what Donald Glover does with it, to see if he adds to it or if it's just about, you know, oh, this is the Lando that we know.
What I'm but hoping it was for also, is... I hope that Donald Glover has that kind of... one of my favorite scenes of Lando is at the end of Empire when they're trying to escape and the hyperdrive is broken as usual. And he's like, they fixed it. I thought they fixed it. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, I thought I was right. And of course I was wrong. Why not? Why aren't I? You know what I mean? Like, I hope that he has that essence of like, what the hell? Like that Billy Dee, like, no.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain. Like, he has that kind of charm about himself. Like I thought I had it figured out, and I clearly don't know what I'm doing. That kind of, like, that's Han Solo and Lando Calrissian both, I feel like. Where they both are like, I'll figure this out on the fly. And then they're screwed because they didn't figure it out at a time.
Well, something like, I liked seeing that character grow from Empire to Jedi. But at the same time, like, going back to Donald, I'm excited to see... It seems like this is going to be both Han and Lando in their prime. And that's what I think I'm the most excited to see, is these two characters in their element that they're originally from, I guess you could say, instead of where you meet them later on in Empire and in Jedi. And just to see the interaction between the two. And I don't know, man. The more I talk about it, the more excited I'm getting.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting a lot more excited for this movie the closer it gets. And I mean, it's a Star Wars movie. Whether or not whether or not you think it's going to be good or not, I do see a lot of people being negative about it and just saying, "Oh, this trailer looks terrible," or "Oh, he doesn't sound anything like Han Solo." It's a Star Wars movie. Just give me the Star Wars eye candy that I want. Give me music that sounds like John Williams. I know John Williams is writing the theme for this movie, but he's not actually writing the whole score. But just put me in that universe. That's all I want. Put me in that universe and just make sure it's not a total abomination. As long as it's not a total train wreck, I'm going to be happy.
I do also want to point out, going into Solo, you know, you still have a couple weeks. There's a novel that just came out. I wanted to bring up called Star Wars Last Shot, and it's a Han and Lando novel. So it's supposed to. It's kind of similar to Battlefront 2's Inferno Squad, where it's a canonical book, but it kind of gives you a primer going into the movie.
Right.
It is available now. If you want to pick it up, you can pick it up on a hardcover Kindle or on Audible. You can get it as an audiobook if you're interested in that. I may or may not do this. I don't know if I'll have the time to either.
Kind of interested in the audiobook because I would be able to get through it at work. Like if I was able to listen to it. I don't know if I have time to read it. So maybe I'll think about doing the Audible version of it. We're not sponsored by Audible, just so you know, for any of the listeners. We're not sponsored by Audible, but we do. You know, Audible is a cool place to get audio books. So I think that's going to wrap up episode 2 of Hello There, a Star Wars podcast. Any closing thoughts you want to add? Anything you want to plan for next week?
At some point, I think it would be a good idea for me and you to do a retrospective on the prequels. And we can get that planned out, but I think that would make for some pretty good episodes.
Let's plan on that. I do want to do that. Let's do that once Solo is out. Like we'll do our Solo coverage, what we think of the movie, and then in that quiet time between now and because Episode 9 is next December. December 2019. So we're gonna have a lot of time between Solo and Episode 9. So let's plan on doing that in a post Solo universe. But yes, I absolutely want to do that.
I do want to talk about probably next week, maybe some more on Solo, more in particular the decision to have it come out the time it's coming out, you know, instead of that December release. I think it may be a potential good thing because you don't want to have it the expectations of the December Star Wars movies. But like I said, we could talk about that later next week. But I just say stay tuned. You know, we, as you can see from these first two episodes, we're really passionate about Star Wars. And I mean, sometimes I feel like I ramble, but going back and like listening to it, I'm like, oh no, it sounds like I actually know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
because this is stuff that
we both kind of like that. That's why we wanted to do this podcast. We do ramble, but it all ties together. And some way because everything in the Star Wars universe is tied together. So what else are you working on outside of this podcast? I know you got another little podcast you're working on.
I and a friend of mine, Nick, host a podcast called Hope County Radio, and there we cover Far Cry 5. As of right now, we cover Far Cry 5 and things along with that. You know, we talk about the different arcade maps that go and things like that. So if you're interested in Far Cry 5 or anything like that, you can check us out there at Hope County Radio. You can find it on all podcast services. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can search Hope County Radio on Twitter and you'll find it there. You actually did the graphic for us, which we definitely appreciate. It's a dope graphic.
Yeah, I'm glad I was able to do that for you. I thought it came out really well as well.
But besides that, you can follow me on Twitter at SYCSTIX17. If you want to add me on Facebook, you can. I mean, that may be a little weird, but
why not? Yeah, I also have another podcast I work on. I'm one of the co-hosts for PS Best Friends, the PlayStation podcast. The weekly podcast comes out every Tuesday. You can find that. You can just search any podcast or YouTube search bar PS Best Friends. You can find that. We're on all kinds of places. We're on iTunes, Apple Music, Apple Podcasts. That'd be the same thing, I guess. Google Play, all that good stuff. So check that out if you're into Sony stuff. And then, yeah, we're going to be back next week with Star Wars goodness. I want to plan out some more in-depth things for next week. I think I want to dig a little deeper into The Last Jedi. I liked the direction we were going with the cave discussion. I want to get a little deeper into maybe Luke and the Jedi Temple on Octu. So let's maybe talk about that next week for our Last Jedi discussion. But you can let us know where you stand on the cave the Mirror Cave in The Last Jedi, or anything else we discussed this week, you can DM me on Twitter at Anthony Palm, or you can DM us at Hello There Pod on Twitter, or you can email us at HelloTherePodcast@gmail.com. Nate previously said he is at 6Stix17. That's SYCSTIX17. Yeah, that's going to wrap up episode 2 of Hello There, a Star Wars podcast. I hope you had as much fun as we did talking about it. We will be back next week, and that will be, what day of the week is that? So we're the 21st day, that'd be the 28th is when we're recording it. These episodes, we're planning on going live every Monday. Let us know if you think Mondays are a weird day, or if you prefer like a Friday release. But yeah, that's going to wrap the episode. Any closing thoughts?
I love Star Wars, and I always will for as long as I live.
You are a bold one, General Kenobi.
May the Force be with you.